and podcasting.
It feels so good. So we usually podcast earlier in the week, but Natalie fell victim of the flu going around. So I stayed curled up in my bed. So we have a surprise podcast date today for you.
Oh, it feels it's so funny when we're like out of our rhythm.
Yeah.
It actually feels more exciting.
It does.
Because we're like, it's a Wednesday morning and we're podcasting.
Oh my gosh. And we usually see each other every week.
I know.
At least once a week. So we went such an extended time this time. It was such a reunion on the street.
It's been so long since I've stared into your beautiful eyes.
Oh, and your outfit is gorgeous today.
Thank you.
Seriously, you look really beautiful.
Well, I had a couple fancy things later on.
Yeah,
so
you're being
like
a fancy girl. For those of you who don't know, Kristen is a Tony-nominated director and is currently directing Clueless the Musical. Clueless as in the amazing movie directed by Amy Heckerling back in the day. Is it the 90s?
From the 90s. Yeah, I think it came out in like 1995. I was actually
amazing.
Working concessions at a movie theater when it was first released. And I used to sneak in on my breaks to watch little bits of the movie.
Oh, and now you're directing a musical.
Oh,
it's so cool.
I mean, little 16, 17-year-old Kristen would be beside herself.
Oh.
I think actually Kristen at 41 is beside herself.
Well, that's the thing. That's actually kind of perfect for what we're talking about today, is how can we be so in awe of how life is working for us?
Pronoia at its best.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking about pronoia, we have a little gift for the world.
We have a gift.
We have our sweet book that we have written, mm-hmm, about all of our principles, our building blocks, our tools meant for giving your gifts to the world.
And also, what's really cool is if you want to know more about Kristen and I and our journeys and how we found each other and how we found our way into this work, you will also get all the dirt on us in this book.
Yes. Oh, I know. It's really fun. Actually, someone emailed and said, I just started reading it. I'm in love with you guys already. And my favorite thing is that you say that when you need to take a break, jump up, have a dance party, and invoke the power of pelvic thrust.
That's right. Which is what we do.
Well, and it's also true for life. Like, if you find a moment where life gets a little stale, a little boring, or you feel a little funky, man, a pelvic thrust will just take you.
Yeah. And if you're, like, thinking, there's no way, I don't care if you're at an office, I don't care if you're on the subway, just start giving your pelvis a little shake and try not to laugh.
Yeah, actually, if you are on the subway feeling like you have, like the holiday gloom doom, like, setting in, just put all of your focus on your pelvis.
And give it a little shaky shake.
Like an invisible
like
shake. A
twerk.
Yeah, a little twerk, a little invisible twerk. I want to set the scene here because Natalie is the Christmas goddess. No one decorates like Miss Natalie Roy. Her table looks like something out of a catalog. Her apartment is an utter gorgeousness. And her handsome French boyfriend, Eddie, is looking very sexy in the background. And he's currently cooking for us at this moment. So he just shook his cute little hiney in our faces.
He did a little pelvic thrust for us.
Your tree looks like something that would come out of a catalog.
It's true. It actually does. I can say that I'm not good at everything, but Christmas decor is my thing. And if anyone wants to hire me to do Christmas decor for your house, I'm more than happy to do it. Also, if anyone is directing or casting a Christmas movie, I'm more than happy to be in it.
I love how you say your desires out loud. Just
well, I know the world is for me.
You know it. Pronoia. We already know. We're talking about it. Oh, one last announcement before we jump into being a genius. By the way, you might be able to hear our beautiful friend Chef Eddie cooking for us in the background.
Sizzle, sizzle.
Just because that's pronoia. Like, the universe loves us so much. Not only do we get to hang out and laugh with each other, we're going to eat delicious food in just one moment. So we are teaching in New York City together.
Together.
For real.
I know the last time we lied to you, but we didn't mean to lie to you. Until 24 hours before our last create, we were teaching together.
And then Clueless called an emergency rehearsal, which if you listen to our last podcast, you know we absolutely needed. So Natalie took the mantle alone and slayed it. But this time, it's going to be right before the new year.
Yeah, December 30th at 7 p.m. And if you want more details about where and all these things, then you can check out our website, thecreateseries.com, and we'll make sure that all that information is posted. But it's going to be an awesome way to transition into the next year, to be in community, especially for those of you that are traveling or being with families. It could just be a really grounding, amazing way to reset, look into each other's eyeballs, and say, we know why we're here. We know who we are. We know what we're here to do. We're setting intentions for this new phase, and we're doing it together.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so fun to be in community and remember that life is for us.
It's so great. And if anyone calls and says we need to kidnap Kristen, I'm just going to put you in my Santa sack and say no.
I just want to live in your Santa sack. I want to be the little elf that comes out of your Santa sack. Can I dress like an elf for our class on the 30th?
Yes, that's what's going
to
happen.
I want to waddle out and be like, I'm finished with Christmas and in here in time to teach Creech.
That is what is happening. You do not want to miss it. And
you don't want to miss
for
it.
Those of you that don't know, our live in-person Create classes are by donation only. So if you've spent a little too much at Christmas, but you need some community support, you can just come. Just come and be in community.
It don't matter. It don't matter.
We just want to be with you.
All right.
Onward.
Here we go. I'm so excited about this topic.
You have wanted to teach on this topic for a really long time. And I have been like, I don't want to teach on this topic because life doesn't feel for me right now at all. So, of course, like the more we've postponed it, the more the universe has been banging on my door to be like, are you ready for this now? Are you ready for this now?
Are you ready?
And I do feel like if you have resistance to this idea, if you say, yeah, that idea is great for people like you or someone like this or someone with more money in their bank account or an easier life or whatever, then trust me, I know, and I have walked that mile in those shoes, and I can tell you, coming out the other side of that perspective, there is a possibility that this is actually for you in a way you couldn't imagine.
That was really brilliant, and you are very pretty. So I want to give, like, just read, like, straight out of Wikipedia what they say the definition of pranoia is. And I am going to mispronounce some words, and I am asking for your grace as I do. Pranoia is a neologism. Is that a word?
Great.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Coined to describe a state of mind that is the opposite of paranoia. Mm-hmm. Whereas a person suffering from paranoia feels that persons or entities are conspiring against them, a person experiencing pronoia feels that the world around them conspires to do them good. In 1993, the writer and Electronic Frontier Foundation co-founder John Perry Barlow defined pranoia as the suspicion the universe is a conspiracy on your behalf. Mm-hmm. Let's say it one more time. The suspicion the universe is a conspiracy on your behalf. The words may have first appeared in 1982 when the academic journal Social Problems published an article entitled Pranoia by Dr. Fred H. Goldner of Queens College in New York City, right here, in which Goldner described a phenomenon opposite to paranoia and provided numerous examples of specific persons who displayed such characteristics. And this is from the paper. He says, pranoia is the positive counterpoint of paranoia. It is the delusion that others think well of one. Actions and the product of one's efforts are thought to be well received and praised by others. Mm. Mere acquaintances are thought to be close friends. Politeness and the exchange of pleasantries are taken as expressions of detachment and the promise of future support. Pranoia appears rooted in the social complexity and cultural ambiguity of our lives. We have become increasingly dependent on the opinions of others based on uncertain criteria.
Mm.
Fascinating, right?
Mm.
But then our buddy, Rob Bresny, which some of you guys know from Free Will Astrology, if you have not been over to his site and read his astrology site, he has taken pranoia and written a whole book on it called Pranoia is the Antidote for Paranoia, How the Whole World is Conspiring to Shower You with Blessings. So this is the fun thing. Because we know that whatever we believe is what happens to us, if you are under the idea that the world is conspiring for you, you start to gather evidence for that,
mm-hmm.
right? So it is a way of watching your focus.
Mm-hmm.
And when our focus is on the things in life that feel good, that bring us joy, that delight us, what it allows us to do is relax around the things that are difficult, challenging,
yes.
That might create some conflict in our life. And in that relaxation around those challenges, we become more open for solutions.
Now, we're not only talking about this idea of pronoia from the place of the universe is good versus bad, or good things happen for me as opposed to bad things happen to me. It's also the conversation around abundance or lack.
Yes.
It's also a conversation around worthiness, unworthiness, feeling strength and power, feeling powerless. So there's all of these ways where we have life show up for us. And one thing I love is Michael Singer does brilliant work. He's this great writer who does brilliant work around the mind and consciousness and what we are as spiritual beings. And what he says is there is a field of limitless potential. So at all points in life, and this moment in time is like 13.8 billion years in the making, this one single moment in time that you have arrived in. And in this moment, absolutely anything and everything is possible. Now, what he says is when we have wounds or thorns, what often happens is we then attach negativity to that thing. So then we start looking for ways to prevent that thing from happening, or we start looking for evidence of why that thing keeps happening so that we can maintain this kind of woe is me story about life. So, for example, there are thousands of possibilities of cars that could drive by, but if you were broken up with in a blue Mustang, then Kristen and I could be driving down the freeway and a blue Mustang could drive by. And for me, I have no attachment to it. If Kristen was broken up with in a blue Mustang, she sees the blue Mustang and she feels pain and she feels a reminder of her pain. And then now she's in a belief system of pain. She's connected to pain as opposed to pleasure. So now it's almost like life is going to continue showing her more and more examples of ways she's been hurt and ways she's continuing to be hurt. But the car is neutral. It's what we attach. It's our belief system. It's our linking to it that becomes the issue. And what I love that the yogis describe is that the only thing that ever causes suffering is when we link incorrectly. So if we link to something that we are not meant to be linked with, we are in suffering. Now, we know this in relationships, right? If you're linked to a relationship that's not healthy for you, then it'll cause suffering. If you're linked to the idea that the world is against you, it can cause suffering. So our job as spiritual beings is to say, I get to choose what I link to. I am powerful enough to say, I don't want to link to evidence of pain. I want to link to evidence of joy and pleasure. And what's fascinating is no matter where you look, whether it's a spiritual teacher, whether it's the ancient tradition of yoga, whether it's modern new thought, whether it's psychology, everyone says the same thing, which is you are the chooser. You are the one that gets to say, this is what I choose. And whatever you choose consistently will show up in your life. So the idea of life is against me will show up over and over to prove you right. Or pronoia can show up over and over to prove you right.
Well, it's all that whatever we focus on is what we attract. So if we are focused on the things in our life that are working and we believe that life is working out for us, it changes the way then we behave in the world.
Right.
Right. So just think of someone walking down the street. If they think people are unfriendly and untrustworthy and that they're going to get hurt, you think those thoughts, you watch your body close down.
Absolutely.
If you walk down the street thinking, I am beautiful. People are wonderful. There's open hearts everywhere. I can't wait to, every stranger I meet is a chance for a miracle. You feel your body open up as you walk down the street. So the power of the beliefs you hold, therefore, determine how you interact with the world, and that determines your experience.
Ah, yes. Well said.
One of the things that I have been holding in my mind all week is this quote from Ram Dass that has become like a mantra for me, which is clear mind, open heart. Clear mind, open heart. So as I wake up in the morning, let me just clear my mind and open my heart.
Let me tell you how on the same channel we are. I was just at yoga, and where I put my mat down was under those exact words.
No way. Mm-hmm. Clear mind, open heart.
Clear mind, open heart.
Well, I find for myself that when I clear my mind, what I'm really doing is releasing my thought forms that want to attach to the negative, right? So sometimes I'll even, and I've told you about this before, a practice I'll do for myself is I'll like, I'll focus on what is the positive thing in this moment. A real powerful place for me is in the shower. Because you guys know, like, when you get in the shower, your mind starts to want to work out problems that aren't actually happening in that moment.
Yes.
So a kind of a present moment exercise I'll do is like, ooh, the way this soap feels in my hands, the way that it smells. It's like doing a mindfulness exercise in the shower. I love how this oil feels on my legs. I love the temperature of the water. And so it's a way of like dropping my mind that wants to attach to a problem and try to solve it in order to be in the present moment, because I actually know that all great solutions come in the present moment, like through the universe. So if you want to say through God or the source of love, but anything that's going on, say if there's a conflict in a relationship, that's going to get solved in the moment it's meant to get solved. And there's nothing that my mind can do to try to fix it.
Right. And so often we want to control life by trying to fix it or manipulate it or make it go my way. Uh-huh. Well, the thing I know about myself is that my way has been conditioned by a mind that is meant to help me survive and protect me from harm.
Yeah.
So my mind is like an encyclopedia of information. So when I come up against a present circumstance, my mind is going to go back in the history of its index and say, well, don't do this, do this, do it like this. But my mind is only ever designed to keep me away from danger. Mm-hmm. It is not meant to show me the possibility of something that hasn't ever happened before.
That's right.
If I want the possibility of a miracle, my mind is the wrong place to go, because my mind can't fathom it and it's not its job. But my heart, the consciousness in me, the soul in me, is connected beyond time and space reality to solutions and opportunities that my mind can't even fathom. So let me, like as you said, clear my mind from being the doer, from being the problem solver, because at best, it is going to give me a protection from my past. It will never give me the elevation or the magnitude of my future.
That's right. Now, it's so interesting because I think of A Course in Miracles that tells us fear is evidence that we're trying to solve things in our own strength. Mm. And then we only ever have one problem. And that problem is we think that we're not connected to God, the universe, the source of love. And that problem has already been solved. Any problem we think we have has actually already been solved, because we are not separate from the divine, right? God is here now. So let me tell you how this worked in my life this week. As you know, I've had a conflict. If I was going to use a dramatic word, maybe I would say it's a crisis, but that sounds dramatic. Let's say there's a conflict that came up with someone that I care about very deeply, and it felt like a really big conflict that I could not solve. There was nothing that I could do in my human capacity to make things okay with this person. There was a huge rift, and it caused me to go to, and I'm just to be fully transparent, to go to a lot of 12-step meetings. And I just sat there with like the first three steps, and someone shared in a meeting, which I loved. She said the first three steps are really, she's like, and she's saying, I think my sponsor told me this, can be interpreted, relax, relax, relax. Mm. And that brought me back to Ram Dass and the open mind. Mm. Relax, relax, relax. And she talked about one of the practices she was doing is just writing out over and over again, I surrender completely. Mm. I surrender completely. So here's something I can't solve. There's nothing that's in my power to do. Like, I had taken every action I could do to repair this. All I could do was relax now and surrender it, right? I had to go blank, clear mind, open heart, and just let it go. And here's what the miracle was. I felt so much serenity and peace in realizing it wasn't mine to solve, mm-hmm. right? That I had done all that I could, but that it was the universe, a higher power that could be the only thing to really create deep correction.
Yes.
And then I was at another meeting. And I heard this thing that really was transformative to me, which was, it's our job to be willing to have our character defects changed by higher power, mm-hmm. right? It's our job to offer them up. But then what happens is up to higher power. So again, it's like, again, we're not the doer.
Right.
Right? We surrender, but there's a power greater than us that is the doer. Then I heard, I think it was on a podcast. So I was getting like, you know, when like, this is pronoia to me in yes. action, is when the universe is giving a consistent message over and over again.
Yes.
I'm listening to a podcast and it was like, our job is to step in the direction of our dreams. It's the universe's job where we get.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, it's the same thing over and over again. Like, it's never my job, the result. My job is the intention.
And here's what's beautiful. And thank you so much for sharing so honestly.
Of course.
Thank you. Here's what I think is so beautiful when we talk about pronoia is if you don't trust that this whole thing is rigged in your favor, surrender gets real hard.
Yeah.
Right? Because you don't want to let go of the reins. Think about this in your even romantic partner.
Yes.
If you trust, like, let's have the simplest, most base example. If you trust that if the garbage lays there and piles up, that your partner will notice it and take it out for you, then you will not be so busy always trying to focus on getting the garbage taken out. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, but if you think my partner could let that pile up for weeks and weeks and never touch it, so I have to do it, right? So from the most simple explanation, whenever we don't trust that this whole thing is rigged in our favor, whenever we do not live from a place of pronoia, we become the doer, the control freak, the fixer, the one man, one woman show who has to do everything. And we live constantly in fear because we're only going on our own strength. And we don't trust that if we get sick, if we take our hands off the steering wheel for a second, if we get in a place where we just can't go anymore, we don't trust that there's something there to catch us. And often when I talk to you all, like who said I'm skeptical about pronoia being for me, what I have noticed in my own life is the universe, because it is so for me and I am such a control freak and I do not want to take my hands off the steering wheel, that the universe, because it loves me, will put fucked up shit in my life so I have no choice but to let go.
Yes.
And then when I let go, and for me it's always like letting go out of sheer desperation or rock bottom.
Yeah.
Then the universe sweeps in and performs a miracle that I could have never done on my own. And then my faith grows and then I know.
Yes.
It is always trying to get me to get that pronoia is a real thing. And it is possible for all of us. So even the bad stuff that shows up is the opportunity, is the gateway for me to say, wow, this is really how it works. And my job is just to say, what if I could learn how to surrender to this mindset without having to hit rock bottom?
Oh, and that's such a beautiful way of articulating it. Thank you for that. Something that comes to me as you're sharing that is, I think, you know, last week when we talked about aversions a bit, this idea of when something that comes into our life that looks unwanted is actually pronoia too. If we can release our judgment around it, that it's a bad thing, and go, oh, this thing that's happening right now actually might be everything that I want. This might be the thing, the key to the great life. In fact, if I look at it and go, oh, this is here, this is the key to my great life, this is everything I've been looking for, then it becomes a portal into opening those spaces in our life.
Yeah.
So it's a way of training our eyesight to see what is the good that is happening here. And I do think that there is something about, for me, a moment to moment asking myself, what is the good here that the universe wants me to see? Like, what is the good in this present moment? And then as I leave here, what's the next good? So my eye starts to train to see the good. And as I'm doing that, I'm already creating a precept for my day. I don't know if that's the right word, but I hope it is. A premise, let's say, that is, today is full of miracles.
Yeah.
Today is going to be the best rehearsal I've ever had.
Yeah.
Today I'm going to have the best podcast with Natalie that we've ever created. Like, as a way of almost like tuning myself to that vibration.
Yes.
And not that I have to make it happen. I have to get out of the way and relax so that it can happen.
You know, it was so funny. I was in yoga today, and I had, about a year ago, I had a little neck injury. And so it's changed the way that I've done my yoga practice. And just today, when the teacher said, okay, does anyone want to practice headstand? It was like there was this inner knowing of like, I'm ready to do that pose again. It's been over a year that I've not gone upside down because I didn't want to put any undue pressure on my neck. But I just felt, I really tuned into my body. I stopped, I paused, I listened, and I felt, today's the day. I can do it again. And the second I went upside down, it's a metaphor, right? You go upside down for like a flip in perspective. But I really thought to myself, the root chakra, which is the bottom of the chakra system, which is kind of the bottom of the feet, the legs, the bottom of the pelvis, is our grounding and our foundation. But it's also, when it gets out of balance or out of align, it's fear. So it's like most of us, if we don't feel steady, we don't feel a foundation, we feel fear. And what was so interesting is being flipped upside down, all of a sudden my crown chakra is the foundation. It is the base. It's the part of me that's touching the ground, and that's faith. The crown chakra is about your connection to something bigger than you. So all of a sudden, having my faith be my foundation instead of my fear, I literally felt my entire body lengthen, and I felt a safety and a knowing that I could not have imagined ever having felt. And it even put me in the mindset of, thank goodness I had an injury so I couldn't do this pose for over a year. So now I can come back to it and have this beautiful knowing of what this is really about.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you. Talk about you and I also being on the same page. I had a yoga experience this morning. I did yoga in my apartment. I put on one of those cute like YouTube videos, and I just started doing it. But then as it was going, I realized that my body wanted to take over and do different things than the yoga teacher was doing. And I had had a injury in my left wrist that made it so that I couldn't like bend it the way that I wanted to. So for a long time, I haven't been able to do a wheelbarrow.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And something in my body today just said, like, try it. And I went up into wheelbarrow, and my left wrist hasn't been able to support that in like literally 2 years, maybe three. And it just happened. But, so it's just so funny. But I was wondering, I was like, oh, left side feminine, wrist flexibility.
Oh.
Am I becoming more flexible in my feminine, which is that relax. So it's for you and I, we're both getting that message of surrender. You is like surrender into your faith and let that be your foundation. Me, it's to like stop thinking that you have to be the one to solve everything in your life.
Wow.
Oh,
hello. That's the bell. That's the bell of truth. Either an angel got its wings or we're very smart.
Or I got a call on my computer. Freaking FaceTime. I wonder who it was.
Oh my gosh. Probably something amazing.
Something amazing
probably
is what it was.
There's probably a huge miracle.
If it's a podcast on Pranoia, it's definitely.
That's right. One thing, we posted on our Facebook page this week that we were doing this topic.
Yes.
And so many of you had incredible insights that actually gave me so much food for thought. So this was really exciting. So one person had asked, I'd love to hear you tease apart the difference between the universe conspiring in our favor versus divine winks, those divine coincidences that end up shifting our lives in a very powerful way. Is there a difference? And for me, what the initial instinct that came in, and we can jam on this, was the belief is the universe is conspiring in our favor.
Uh-huh.
And it's almost like the proof of that belief is the divine wings. Does that make sense?
Well done. I'm high-fiving you.
So yeah. If you have the belief, you create a capacity, you create a paradigm through which those divine winks can come in and happen for you. Now, here's what I would argue. I believe the divine winks are happening all the time, no matter what.
Yes.
But the moment you believe and you set your sight in a broader way, then you can actually see them.
Yes, it's like how Rob Bell says everything is spiritual and Ram Dass says everyone is God and drag. I believe the universe is always talking to us all the time. There's no place that we go where the universe isn't trying to be in communication through all things, all people, everywhere. And the moment that you are open to that is the moment that you can get the message that is being transmitted in every moment, which is you are loved. You are surrounded by love. I mean,
ding.
The dings are everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that everything you do is being supported.
Mm-hmm.
I just am so curious. I'm like, where did the idea of separation come from?
Right.
Where did we get the idea that we were separate from the divine and separate from each other?
Mm.
Because isn't that the thing that causes the pain, the fear, the frustration, the
separate
worry?
From ourselves? Yes. As a eternal being,
yes.
Separate from ourselves as a soul, as a consciousness,
yeah.
That experiences unconditional love.
That's right.
And I do believe it's because we got attached to form. And sometimes I think we don't notice the divine winks because we are asking, okay, I'm going to believe the universe is for me and I want X.
Yeah.
So then if the universe presents you with Y or Z, you don't notice because you're so trained to look for X. So part of pronoia is saying, I believe in the energetic existence of what I want. I believe that energetically it is for me, and it can show up in ways that I can't expect, because what I expect is my mind. What I cannot expect is my soul, is my eternal being. And so let me not attached to it coming in this role, in this person, in this way, because then we miss the miracles. I think this all the time. I will write on my desire list, can I please have something amazing in my acting career, and I'm expecting it to be a booking. And something will come that is so unexpected and outside of the box, and I don't even notice.
Yeah.
And maybe two or three days later, I said, oh my gosh, I think, oh, that was, wow, there it was.
There it was.
And it probably happened 5 other times. And why are my eyes not trained to see it? Because there's still this feeling of, I'm going to ask for it, but do I really believe it's coming? Do I really have the faith? And it's really not about asking for our faith to be proved. It's actually just about saying, I believe it's for me. So no matter what shows up, I trust that that is exactly what I needed.
It's the right thing.
Even yesterday, I was telling you, I had this audition and I was having a conflict with someone just before, and I could feel my mechanism that I wanted to cry and I wanted to be upset. And I was in the shower and I started to cry. And I just said, I can create a story right now that I'm, you know, having this difficult time and it's distracting me and I'm not going to be able to do my best work and all these things. Or I could say, whatever is happening is for me to do the best audition ever. So how can I look for that evidence? Oh, well, then I ended up going to the audition, and the audition was actually kind of emotive, and it kind of required a certain connection to my emotional instrument. And I thought, there it is, another gift. And then by the time I finished the audition, everything was resolved. It's like, thank you for giving me that gift, right? It's just our perspective of saying, if I trust that it's for me, then even when I get fired, even when the check doesn't go through to pay the rent, even when someone's angry at you, even when something happens that feels like it's the thing you were the most afraid of, how is there a possibility of a miracle within it that is bigger than what your eyes and mind can see?
That's exactly right. Will you also tell our listeners what they said after you did your audition?
Perfect.
Uh-huh. this reminds me of Hannah Edwards. She put a post on our Pronoia site, or Pronoia post on our Facebook page, and she wrote, "I often have little building emergencies that make me drop everything and go to said building. I used to dread them, but then I realized that often I would be there just in time to deal with another more serious issue, like responding to a trip fuse and encountering an inspector who would have given the building a violation. But the most dramatic was the time a fire alarm went off at a building, forcing me to abandon an acting class I was auditing and running out unceremoniously to find that a dusty AC filter had set off the smoke alarm. But then, in checking the basement, I discovered that the sprinkler main was literally about to burst due to the part of a wall falling in and collapsing against a weak part of the pipe. This led to a 24-hour emergency replacement that was very expensive for the landlord, but if the pipe had burst, the losses could have been hundreds of thousands. So now when I get that call, I know I need to go to myself and ask, what does the universe need to tell me about? I haven't gotten the same sense so strongly about other parts of my life, but I look for them." So when things happen in our life, just being able to ask that question, what's the universe trying to tell me here?
Yeah.
There's a little message here.
Yeah. Something's trying to get my attention. And I know it's for me. Mm-hmm. I know whatever this lesson is, it's for me. You know, something I heard Michael Singer say the other day was, pain has been stored through the experience of pain.
Yes.
So for pain to be healed, it must be healed sometimes or often or always through the experience of pain.
That's right.
Right? If it goes in via pain, it will come out via pain.
That's right.
But we don't have to see it as damaging or a hindrance. We can see it as, it's finally healing. I'm finally moving through it. I'm evolving past this. There's something bigger. There's a bigger life I get to live. And so this old pain, this old story, this old way of being must come up and die in me so that I can be expanded into a magnitude and a bigger life and a bigger love and a bigger capacity than I ever could have thought possible. So let me surrender and relax to even the painful. And let me say, no matter what shows up in form, let my mindset and my heart set be one where I know that everything that is happening for me, so then the universe can prove me right.
That's so good. Should we read another one? I love Victoria Buddha. And
we love Victoria. Victoria also has an awesome podcast. If anyone is interested, we'll post that information. It's called the Being Me podcast, and she is awesome.
Do you want to read hers? Do you see it there?
Do I see it here? Let me see. Where are you, Victoria? There you are. Working in my favor to me means a trust in what I see and hear in my bones. I don't know another way to describe it. For example, over and over since July, I kept hearing the word shadow. Because of that, I've recently been diving into Debbie Ford's shadow work, a term from Carl Jung, which led me to discovering a new idea about manifestation that has totally lit me up. The new, to me, idea being that you don't manifest from positive thoughts, but you manifest from your subconscious story, aka your space of worthiness. For me, this has made a lot of sense in placing things together in a great way. I see everything so differently now. It all stemmed from paying attention to one word that kept popping out of conversations and speaking to my bones.
Oh,
amazing.
It's interesting how those messages, we can see them in the external world and we can also get them internally.
Yeah.
And knowing that the universe loves us, is working in our favor, has us tune into life and tune into our interior in a different way.
Yeah.
So all of these are ways that we can just start to prime ourselves to be in conversation with life in a way that allows life to help us. It's almost like, I always talk about this like vision of, we have hands all around us. Imagine having a bunch of people cheering. You know how they cheer on marathon runners?
Yes.
They're cheering us on and trying to give us cups of water, yes, snack bars. They're trying to give us everything we need to do our mission here on the planet. And all we have to do is realize that all of life is helping us.
That's right.
Rob Bresny on his site, if you go and look under, or just even Google Pronoia Therapy, you'll see he has this like blurb about his book, but he has these really cool exercises that I love. That if you just want to try to like help change your mindset a little bit,
yeah.
Like here's the first one. Take inventory of the extent to which your no reflex dominates your life. Mm. Notice for 24 hours, even in your dreams, how often you say or think, no, that's not right. I don't like them. I don't agree with that. They don't like me. That should be different from what it is. Then retrain yourself to say yes at least 51% of the time.
Mm.
Start the transformation by saying yes aloud 22 times right now. Mm. And he actually has 22 different exercises.
All amazing. It's funny because, everything is linked and connected, but positive psychology says the same thing. It's not about perfectionism. What you do 51% of the time will determine kind of where you are.
Yeah.
So if you can be happy 51% of the time, you're all set, right?
Yes.
So most of us think, well, I have so many negative thoughts. What can I possibly do? Just 51%,
right?
And you just start with mindfulness. You just start by noticing. You just start by catching it. Just start by, when I was crying in the shower, wait, is this really what I want? Is this really helping me? Can I make a different choice? Can I see it in a new way? Let me make the decision. Let me be the chooser of what reality I want to live into. And at the end of the day, try it as an experiment. Even if you think, I don't buy this, I don't think this is for me, try it. Try it on for a couple of days. Try it on for a couple of weeks. And maybe your outer world won't change at all, but maybe your inner world will feel more peaceful.
Oh.
Maybe you'll feel more connected. Maybe you'll feel like you can take your hands off the steering wheel for a second. And wouldn't that be a gift?
Well, and as we know, it's the inner world first.
Mm.
So when you start to feel on the inner, life supports my dreams.
Mm.
Life is behind all of my desires. Everything that I've been created to be, the universe is working with me to help create that.
Mm.
I don't have to be the doer. I just have to be open. As you start to take on these concepts in your life, you will start to see the flow of them. As you start to feel that serenity and peace inside, then you'll watch your life take on a serenity and peace. But it's always inside first.
Mm.
Inside first. So if that even just allows us to take one extra breath of connecting to our peace and serenity inside before we leave the house in the morning,
mm-hmm.
or before we go into a meeting or our job or communicate with someone that we love, finding that place of peace and serenity, that all is wellness inside, and then allowing that to show up on the outer world.
Mm. What if it was all for you?
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T. community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?